Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo.
Und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur. Und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.
You know, your house smells. Don't get mad. My house smells too. I'm not indicting you. I'm sure you keep a clean home, but just time means you're going to acquire smells, whether those are cooking smells that get in your paint, your carpet, maybe they're animal smells, maybe you're a smoker or someone else was. Just living creates smells. I didn't realize that my home had a smell to it until I got my first Eden Pure Thunderstorm, the greatest air purifier I've ever owned in my life. This thing, I had it plugged in for 2 hours. I came back in the room and my air smelled so clean. I now own 3 of them. I'm not making that up. This thing has absolutely changed me on top of what it's done for my allergies. Go get one. Get 2. Be like me and get 3. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse. That gets you $10 off and free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse. You don't have to dip forever. You know that, right? You don't have to smoke forever. And the reason I say it like that is I have been that guy. I've been that guy. I dipped for so long. And what would happen is I would decide I'm going to quit. Oh, that's bad for me. I'm going to quit. I'm a man. I don't need any help. I'm just going to quit cold turkey. And I would fail time and time and time again. I tried things like the patch. That didn't work. Gum, sunflower seeds. I tried it all. It's just a matter of finding the right thing to help you quit. That's Jake's Mint Chew. Go, put in your dip. Just make sure it's Jake's Mint Chew. It's tobacco-free. It's nicotine-free. It's even sugar-free. And I highly recommend, just a personal choice, I highly recommend their CBD pouches because it really helps take that extra edge off. Go to jakesmintchew.com. That's jakesmintchew.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse at checkout. When you do that, you get 10% off. Jimmy Carter Part 2? Not so fast on that one. We may have a whole different animal on our hands. We're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about a new Army ad. Oh, yikes. You're going to be hiding under your desk when you see it. That and more on I'm Right.
Guys are bad. I'm not supposed to be answering all these questions. I'm supposed to leave, but I can't resist your questions.
What? I'm sorry? Did the commander-in-chief just walk up to the microphone and say, you guys are bad? I'm not supposed to be answering questions like a kid who just got busted sneaking a cookie out of the cookie jar? What are you supposed to be doing, Joe? I'm sorry. Look, we've joked about this several times because it's not the first time he said that, but I need to know if the president of the United States of America, the one, you know, we elected, obviously I didn't, but quit, but the one we elected, if he's not in charge, the American people deserve to know who is in charge. Is this entire thing some gigantic charade? I mean, it's one thing to say it's embarrassing that we elected a non-functioning adult as president of the United States. That's embarrassing. It's embarrassing for our country. It really is. I've said several times, I know what makes people mad. I really wish Kamala would take over. And I know she's the Antichrist. She's at least a functional adult. I'm embarrassed having this person lead the nation. But setting that aside, is this one big charade? Is all the conspiracy theory stuff you saw on the right in the beginning. I mean, not crazy conspiracy stuff, but just stuff saying, well, he's not functional. He's simply saying whatever on the teleprompter. He did have earpieces in during the debate, and I don't know if that's true, but what's all that stuff that we looked at and thought, oh, that's kind of crazy. Who knows if that's true? Was it all true? Do we have a president who's not a president? Just somebody shuffling around with his mouth hanging open at all times? Because that's a really big deal. I mean, you know that, right? It is a really, really, really big deal if the president of the United States is not really the president of the United States, and instead he has a bunch of radical left-wing nut jobs who are all around him, Susan Rice and others, and they're the ones running the country. Not only is it a big deal, it's something the American people should know about, right? It's something maybe, just maybe, the American press that spends all day long talking about speaking truth to power, maybe that's something they should dig into. I had somebody tell me once that the press secretary, Jen Psaki, half the reason she looks like she doesn't know anything most of the time, she doesn't have access to the president. Did you hear what I just said? The president's secretary doesn't get to talk to the president. Who does get to talk to the president? Where is the president in his day-to-day life? You remember when Donald Trump was in the Oval Office? There were cameras falling around all day long. We knew where he was at all times. He's in the Oval Office. He's in the bedroom. We always knew where he was. Why does Joe Biden disappear for long periods of time? And why is nobody in our media flat out questioning the fitness for office of the president of the United States of America? I would love to know. He doesn't ever know what he's talking about. He doesn't know what he's doing. On top of what he says, he looks terrible. And yes, it matters. But what my eyes are telling me, they matter a lot. He walks around with his mouth hanging open, a bad sign. He shuffles his feet along. His arms are rigid and straight. He has somebody often, he takes them by the arm and they lead him. And again, in a separate scenario, I would simply say, okay, well, he's getting on in years. Maybe he has some dementia, Alzheimer's, senile, whatever the case may be. It's actually really sad. Let's not make fun of the guy. Let's get him some care and rest. We're all going to get older one day. That would be in any other scenario. You see, this person is the commander-in-chief. This person is the president of the United States of America. And if he's not fully functional, we have to know that. And we have to do something about that really soon. I mean, the guy's asked about Israel. You know what his answer was? You want to hear Joe Biden's answer about Israel? Here's your president.
Is Prime Minister Netanyahu doing enough to stop this violence there from escalating?
I had a brief conversation with him yesterday, and I have my intelligence community, the Defense Department, as well as the State Department, have been in contact with all of their counterparts in, not only in Israel, but in the region. And one of the things that I have seen thus far is that there has not been a significant overreaction. The question is how we get to a point where they get to a point where there is a significant reduction in the attacks, particularly the rocket attacks that are indiscriminately fired into population centers.
Wow, I feel better. I mean, boy, he's clearly all over it, and he has a plan moving forward. Jeez. We elected that guy's president of the United States. We elected that guy. I still can't wrap my mind around that. Which brings me to something else. This whole pipeline thing and the gas shortage thing. You've seen all this, right? Colonial Pipeline runs a major fuel artery down the East Coast. Some Russian hackers attack it, get it shut down. We now have gas lines. Gas stations are running out of gas. And word comes out today, and I'm going to address this in a second. Colonial Pipeline paid a $5 million ransom to these people. What does your president have to say?
Ransoms? Were you briefed on the fact that the company did pay the ransom?
I have no comment on that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
What? Okay, no comment on that. Let's address this situation really quickly. This is probably
the biggest story I've seen come down for a year. And I really mean that. Of every other story you can think about, this hacker and then ransom paid thing is huge. Mr. Producer, record this because we're going to want to bring this back up again. Huge. Why? Well, it's not that Colonial Pipeline paid $5 million to hackers and they turned the power back on. It's not that. What just happened was we, the United States of America, just sent up a gigantic sign to every single scumbag hacker in the world. And you know what was on that sign? You know what it said? Please, come kick me. I'll pay you for the privilege. It is a huge deal that Russian hackers hacked in and shut down a critical part of America's infrastructure, our fuel lines. Do you have any idea how much of your country, your city, your state is online? Your water plants, sewage plants, power plants. You have any idea how much of it is online? Staggering amounts of it. If we have now told the hackers of the world, it's open season, please come just slaughter us and we'll pay you for it, we are about to have some very, very bad days in this country. You do not do that at all. And I don't care that it was Colonial Pipeline that paid them. The United States of America should have immediately stepped in and stopped said payment. In fact, I'm so mad about this, I think whoever made that decision at Colonial Pipeline should be thrown in prison. It's that big of a deal. This is a national security issue. You do not get to pay off terrorists when they try to come for a ransom. You don't ever do that. Why? Because then you encourage all the rest of them. You know, America's hackers woke up this morning and they got on their little hacker phones and they thought, wait, America paid? Oh boy. Hey, Vlad, get all the hacker guys together. It's open season in America, baby. I want to get paid too. Jeez. And look, but what are we going to do? We don't want to have leadership right now. A president of the United States, remember when he forgot? You remember when he forgot the name of the Secretary of Defense? His own Secretary of Defense? He forgot his name? Well, he forgot Kevin McCarthy's name, too.
I'm encouraged not just because of a solid meeting with the Republican leader in the House and with Mitch or Senator McConnell, who I've known a long, long time and worked with.
He doesn't know the name of the House GOP leader? It's not just me. We have a bunch of former military guys coming out. This is a quote. A bunch of former military guys are coming out and saying, this guy, he's not mentally fit for office. What are they doing? It says, quote, the signatories also questioned the mental and physical condition of the commander-in-chief, adding that national security issues require quick and accurate decisions involving life and limb. And they do. They do. The president makes decisions all the time that are life and death decisions, not just for individuals, for companies, for nations, for our nation. The commander-in-chief is a big deal. This guy must go. I mean, they're comparing him to Jimmy Carter. Well, look, Trump came over the top and pretty much nailed it. Quote, I see that everybody's comparing Joe Biden to Jimmy Carter. It would seem to me that is very unfair to Jimmy Carter. Jimmy mishandled crisis after crisis, but Biden has created crisis after crisis. First, there was the Biden border crisis that he refuses to call a crisis, then the Biden economic crisis, then the Biden Israel crisis, and now the Biden gas crisis. Joe Biden has had the worst start of any president in the United States history, and someday they will compare future disasters to the Biden administration. But no, Jimmy was better. Oh, that is so savage. That is so savage. And of course, he's still doing that dumb thing where he's fully vaccinated, but he's wearing a mask everywhere because the mask has become some stupid virtue signal thing that I'll never understand. I'll never understand it at all. And the CDC director was still holding serve like yesterday. This is from Breitbart saying things like, CDC director can't give data showing it's unsafe for vaccinated people to unmask. Says guidance will be updated very soon. And of course, we now have that guidance. The CDC rightly, after a year, comes out and says, oh, okay, I mean, I guess you can take them off. I mean, even CNN is saying this stuff.
I think for a long time, the concern was the CDC was providing guidance, you know, at the beginning of the pandemic that was not scientifically based. And as a result, we didn't do things that we should have done in this country that could have greatly mitigated what has happened here. And now I think it's almost a little bit of the reverse problem. The science is not necessarily being followed to the same extent. And as a result, we're probably doing things that we don't need to be doing.
Oh, gee, you think? You think we're doing things we don't need to be doing? Because I saw a headline today. Know what that headline said? Inflation over 4% in April. You understand what that means, right? I mean, you do get that 4% in April turns into 7% in the next month, and 7% in the next month, and maybe 14% in the next month, and soon we're staring 50% inflation in the face. I want you to think about your bills. I want you to think about your daily life. Are you able to withstand everything in your life going up by 50%? Well, if you're not, and that scares you and you're mad about that kind of thing, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to pause and I want you to rewind. Tell me what you were saying when coronavirus came out. Because if you wanted the economy stopped and everything locked down and run home and hide and eat pizza and watch Netflix, and you wanted the government to pass all these massive trillion-dollar bills as they're choking the goose that laid the golden egg, then you get what you get. Don't throw a fit. We have huge economic problems still coming. We haven't even talked about the landlord problem. And from the landlord problem, after that, there'll be a banking problem because the landlords won't be able to pay. But you did enjoy that moratorium on paying rent, right? The bill comes due. These coronavirus idiotic things we did, they slaughtered us. And we haven't even begun to feel the pain. We woke up with a hangover and reached over and chugged a bottle of tequila and said, "Woohoo! Hangover's gone." Yeah, sure it is. Wait till you wake up tomorrow. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. Newton Group Transfer. They are here to help you if you're stuck in a timeshare. These stories from people who have these timeshares and can't get out of them, they're shocking. These timeshare companies, not all of them, but so many, they get their hooks into you and you can't give them up. You can't give them up, or they'll do things like they charge you thousands of dollars. One girl, she got past her timeshare when her mother passed away. She gets past the timeshare, doesn't want the timeshare, doesn't use the timeshare. They tell her she can get out of it for $4,000. She has to come up with a $4,000 check. This is not right. It's unjust. And Newton Group Transfers is here to help you. If you are in a timeshare and want out or know someone who is, call 888-845-3773. That's 888-84-JESSE, or go to timesharejesse.com. Newton Group Transfer. They will help you out. Your holster is way more important than you think it is. It's just way more important than you think it is. What? Look, and I get that. The holster's not the sexy part of carrying firearms, right? You want to talk about your weapon and your ammunition. You want to talk about your safety training. You want to talk about how you did at the range. Oh, look at my groups. I was doing these farrier drills today. And all that stuff's really important. I mean, really, really important. I'm not discounting that. But I've known so many people who do all those things. They take all the necessary steps, and then they carry with a holster they bought from a big box hunting store that was made 1,000 at a time. Please, don't put your life in one of those holsters. You need to trust Northwest Retention Systems because it's all custom-made gear. It's the only thing I carry around. NWRetention.com. That's NWRetention.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Gets you 10% off. Now, here's something that makes people uncomfortable. When you have someone in your life who dips or smokes and you tell them, you need to quit. I should quit. That's bad for you. That's not effective. Stop doing that. All that does is create resentment. I know. I dipped for years. And I had to hear that garbage. It never worked. It never moved me an inch. And all it did was create resentment. All right, fine. I'll leave. I'll just go dip on my own then. You know, be a nag about it. Instead of presenting problems to that person in your life who you want to quit. And I'm glad you want them to quit. Instead of presenting problems, present solutions. Go to Jake's Mint Chew. JakesMintChew.com. buy some Jake's Mint Chew. They have a million different flavors there, and give that to the person in your life who dips. I highly recommend trying out their CBD pouches. Go to jakesmintchew.com. Use the promo code Jesse. That gets you 20% off. No more nagging. Solutions. We'll be back. You know we're going to go to war? I mean, I don't know when. I wasn't trying to be too doomsday there. I don't think we're going off to war tomorrow, Lord willing, but the sands of time are inevitable, and at some point we are going to have a war. And no, I don't mean some war where we go slap around a couple terrorists in Yemen somewhere. I mean a big boy war with a big boy power. That's real. And because you and I, we've never experienced losing a war against a big boy power. I mean, I understand we had to pull out of Vietnam, but we've never had this major conflict and then lost. So you and I as Americans, we don't fully appreciate just how devastating it is to lose a military campaign. If it doesn't end your country, it lays you low for oftentimes decades and decades and decades. That's the reality of it. That's the truth. We are going to have a war against another major power. I know because history tells me we will. What are we doing to prepare for said war against this major power? Well, here's this new ad from the United States Army.
This is the story of a soldier who operates your nation's Patriot missile defense systems. It begins in California with a little girl raised by two moms. Although I had a fairly typical childhood, took ballet, played violin, I also marched for equality. I like to think I've been defending freedom from an early age. I began feeling like I'd been handed so much in life, a sorority girl stereotype. Sure, I'd spent my life around inspiring women, but what had I really achieved on my own? I needed my own adventures, my own challenge. And after meeting with an Army recruiter, I found it. A way to prove my inner strength and maybe shatter some stereotypes along the way.
We are in some serious trouble. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm glad that that young girl and her moms, Trina and Pat, or whatever they are, I'm glad she was protesting and marching. That's very inspiring, very exciting stuff. But you see, while we're doing things like that here in America, do you want to know what Russia's doing? You want to know what their recruiting ads look like? I want you to think about that video you just watched. Think about that insane video, right? I want you to keep it in the front of your mind. Now, one of our arch enemies on the world stage. You want to know what they're doing? Here's what they're doing.
Это первый день твоей новой жизни. То, что было вчера, не имеет значения. То, кем ты был прежде, уже никого не волнует. Теперь важно то, кем ты будешь сегодня. Что ты знаешь о себе? На что ты способен? Вопросы могут остаться без ответов, но разве ты сможешь потом спокойно спать? Узнать тебя, познать границы своих возможностей. К черту границы! Ты готов ломать себя до изнеможения? Каждый день здесь боль закаляет. Шрамы, повседневность. Это ты решил себе что-то доказать. Командир здесь только для того, чтобы ты мог увидеть в нем врага, потому что без врага нет боя, а без боя нет победы. Но на самом деле, главный враг — это ты. Вчерашний ты. Твоя задача — выследить врага, догнать его, превзойти, стать лучше, чем он, и вернуться назад победителем. Потому что завтра...
Which one of those countries looks like they're interested in winning that next war that's coming? I'm not just going to gloss over this. I'm not just going to forget about it. I love history. As you know, I talk to you about history a lot on the show. And if you study it, and you find the nations that lose focus. You know, it's almost always the wealthy, powerful ones, right? The poor ones know they've got a scrap, but it's almost always the wealthy, powerful ones. Too many grapes, too many cakes, too much free time on their hands, too many distractions. And there's always this young, hungry one out there who doesn't have these distractions. And he looks at all those cakes and grapes and he wants them. And he starts to look around and say to himself, they're getting awfully soft. I bet I could go take that from them. That happens all the time. And what it looks like when they go to take that from them, it looks like death on a massive scale. That's what it looks like. This is not a small thing. This is a big thing. We don't need an army full of lesbians. We need an army full of killers. That's what we need. That's what you want your United States military to do. And that's what our opponents are doing. Remember that story that came out about China? They're figuring out how to make their men more masculine. We're figuring out how to cut ours off. Literally. This stuff ends nations. I cannot emphasize this enough. This stuff ends nations. And this will be the end of the United States of America if we don't stop these people. It's a really, really, really big deal. A very big deal. But look, where are they learning it? I mean, the top brass, the bureaucracy, Pentagon, FBI, government, they're learning it in school. Here's Penn State. Penn State committee nixes the terms freshmen and upperclassmen because they're classist and sexist. Removal of gendered and binary terms from course and program descriptions. Terms such as freshmen are decidedly male-specific, while terms such as upperclassmen can be interpreted as both sexist and classist. Furthermore, it explains junior and senior are parallel to Western male father-son naming conventions, and much of our written documentation uses he-she pronouns. We suggest that the university consider changes to all written materials, including recruiting materials, admissions materials, scholarship information, and housing materials, and other outward-facing documents, internal documents, and websites. Now, I don't expect you to care that much about Penn State University, but I do want you to understand this. The people who make that idiotic army video, they came from America's university system. We are now driving this into the heads of the people who will lead this nation in the future. And that's This Week in Wokeism.
On the Jordan Harbinger Show, you'll hear amazing stories from people that have lived them, from spies to CEOs, even an undercover agent who infiltrated the Gambino crime family. You're about to hear a preview of the Jordan Harbinger Show with Jack Garcia, who did just that.
My career was 24 out of 26 years was solely dedicated working undercover. Now I walk in, I'm in the bar. Now there's a barmaid there, good looking young lady. She's serving me a drink. Hey, what would you like? Usually my drink was give me a Kettle One martini, three olives, glass of water on the side. I finish the drink, the guys come in, I'm gonna go in my pocket, take out the big wad of money. Bam, I give her $100. If you're with the mob, I say, hey, Jordan, you're on record with us. That means we protect you. Nobody could shake you down. We could shake you down, but you're on record with us.
For more on how Jack became so trusted in the highest levels of the Gambino organization, check out episode 392 of The Jordan Harbinger Show.
You know what else is happening this week? Oh, I don't know. A headline today that says inflation is at 4% already. 4% in April! That number is only going to go up unless you think the government's going to wake up tomorrow morning and stop printing money. Please get some gold. You have worked hard for your money. Do not lose it all because of those idiots in Washington. Patriot Gold Group will take care of you. Give them a call. Diversify. Don't risk losing everything you've worked so hard for. Call Patriot Gold Group today. 866-943-0626. 866-943-0626. We'll be back. Heavy D is killing it in Florida. And I'm very confused how this happened. We have a new poll out. Ron DeSantis has a 55% approval rating in Florida, including 88% amongst Republicans. Florida's a purple state.
I mean, the guy governs like a bloodthirsty right winger. This is a purple state. How is he doing it? Why is he doing it? Joining me now is former Florida House Rep Holly Rashin. She's also a strategist. Holly, explain this to me. It is a purple state, right? I remember basically every race there coming down to about two votes.
Yes, and I think it is the governor's bold conservative leadership that has helped us weather this global pandemic. And he has kept what's important to Florida at the foremost part of his leadership. He protected our vulnerable citizens, our senior citizens, our first responders, while at the same time making sure his constituents' socioeconomic freedoms were protected. He aimed to keep our businesses open, keep our schools open, and therefore keeping our economy open. And we've seen it pay off in spades.
Okay, I'm looking at a poll, I've seen this before too, where Donald Trump is clearly the leader in the clubhouse for Republicans when it comes to running for president in 2024. Heavy D, right behind him, and he laps the rest of the field. I look at this guy, and obviously I'm very impressed, but I also see a guy who clearly looks like he's wanting to run for president. Am I off base with that?
I don't think so. And again, it's his bold and strong leadership that we're seeing unfold in this challenging time. And I think you'll see a lot of states scratching their head going, how is Florida getting this so right? Well, it's under Governor DeSantis's strong leadership.
What kind of a state is Florida? Is it actually still purple, Holly? Is it drifted red? Is it what kind of history is there there? Everyone remembers the Bush-Gore election.
Sure, and what a lesson, many lessons to be learned from that. But yes, I think Florida is leaning right these days. Certainly when I came into office, and I actually represented a very purple district, a third Republican, a third independent, a third Democratic, and you sort of saw that play out in the last, 10 years or so. But this last election, 2020, you saw the president come in with, in 2016, he got an extra 1% of the vote. In 2020, it was 3%. I mean, that's a monumental change in national elections. But yes, again, Florida continues to be very diverse, though, and I don't think that leaders like Governor DeSantis take that for granted.
Describe diverse. You're talking about the Cuban population and Black people and white people and Asian. Is that what you're talking about?
I'm talking about that race, of course, but also the industry in Florida. Obviously, tourism is our number one industry, but we're also a heavily agriculture state. The military is incredibly important to our state's economy. North Florida is a little different from Central Florida. And then, of course, you have South Florida, which is a melting pot, I think, one of the biggest melting pots in the world. I think when you look at our voter rolls, you'll see that diversity. And again, I think right now we're seeing a lean to the right, and hopefully it'll stay that way for the governor in 2022.
You mentioned bold when we were talking about Heavy D, and that's what a lot of people see too, and they saw that in Trump. Are you counseling people you talk to, the people you're a strategist for, that bold sells right now? I feel like the right is hungry for it. They've had way too many years of jellyfish running the party. And I mean, even if you're wrong about something, at least be bold about it at this point.
Sure, and I think people are yearning for bold leadership, again, having weathered this global pandemic. And we've seen that time and time again from Governor DeSantis, whether it's on issues of the environment and climate change, making sure that our economy is preserved and that our business climate is strengthened. And of course, in education, making sure that children and their parents have the choices that they need to make sure that they have a bright future. And again, time and time again, you see the governor defend our police. You see the governor make sure that our election laws are strengthened and so that our elections are transparent and accountable, yet voters still have access to the voting boxes or to mail-in ballots or voting in person. And again, I think this is something that you're going to continue to see from Governor DeSantis, or Big D, as you're calling him.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Heavy D, we have him saying this about schools. This has to be music to parents' ears.
Yes.
What about the fall school year? What's our direction to the school districts and other schools? And our direction is relatively simple. Have a normal school year. okay? These kids do not need to be wearing these masks, okay? I'm sorry, they don't. We need to be able to let them be kids and let them act normally, and that's what should be the case in the fall throughout the school year.
Holly, while that's music to my ears, and I'm thrilled to hear him speaking truth like that, I have to say, when I hear the governor speak like that, what I think is, oh no, now a bunch of those New Yorkers and Californians are going to flock to Florida and trash the place. Is that a concern for y'all?
It is, and as you were calling him Heavy D, let me make that correction. And you know, people are pouring into our state, whether they're hopeful residents, tourists, or businesses alike, because again, the strong policies that Governor DeSantis has instituted, our tax climate is very favorable. Our environment is amazing under the stewardship under Governor DeSantis. And so why wouldn't people want to be flocking to the state of Florida? But there is a concern there that are they coming to Florida, are they registering to vote as Republicans? Are they registering to vote more like their home states? Or are they falling right in the middle in the independent world?
Holly Rashine, everybody. Thank you so much, Holly. I appreciate you.
You got it.
Look, it's a concern. The moving to these states is a concern. I'm a resident of Texas. I'm not a native Texan. I moved to Texas on purpose just because this state shared my values. But you see these things all the time. This company's moving here and this company's moving here. And we're so excited about all these jobs. Okay. How are they voting? And I am worried about parents with kids migrating to states who have open schools because they want their kids in school, but still show up and vote Democrat every single time. I'm very, very concerned about it. I think it's going to be a problem. Yeah, I'm happy California's losing congressional seats. I'm happy Florida's losing, New York's losing congressional seats. That's a good thing. It means the blue areas are emptying, but they're emptying to someplace. These people aren't walking off the edge of the planet. Guess we'll see how it works. All right, home title theft. I've talked to you a lot about it. I told you, I opened up my phone one day and, wait a minute, that's my home title. That's my signature on it. What? I didn't even know home title theft was a thing. Your home title's online. They're out there right now. We just had a major cyber attack. They're out there right now prowling for your home title. Don't take my word for it. Take it from the guy who's doing 25 years in federal prison for it.
Nobody thinks that I can take their house and borrow against the house. No, I have title insurance for that. No, it's in my name, or he would have to get some special document. They would call me. You know, nobody's calling you. After I've stolen the title, borrowed against it, or sold the property, or done whatever I've done with it, it's 60 to 90 days to even figure out that they're the victim of this crime. You know, by that point, you start getting foreclosure notices, and you realize you've got four mortgages on your house. Not only that, you don't even own your home anymore. It's not even in your name.
Sound like a good time? You feel like spending tens of thousands of dollars with a lawyer to unwind that? Or do you just want to go get Home Title Lock and make sure it doesn't happen to you? Go to HomeTitleLock.com. Make sure you use the promo code RADIO. That gets you 30 days for free. We'll be back. Joining me now, obviously one of my favorites, the chef and owner of Slapfish, Chef Andrew Gruhl. Chef, I'm looking at, we only filled 260,000 jobs and there were, I believe, a little over 7 million openings. Chef, I don't understand. What would prompt somebody who doesn't have a job to stay home rather than come on down to Slapfish and get an honest living? Could you explain this to me?
Yeah, look, I'll give you a couple reasons. First and foremost, the amount of money people are getting on unemployment right now, and this is straight from the mouth of those people who I've tried to hire back and have explained this to me, is that they would prefer to wait this out because they're making enough on unemployment. That's number one. That's not every scenario, right? Another scenario, especially here in California, is that people whose kids would normally be in school, because of the schools being shut down, they're forced to either hire childcare because they have to go work or stay home, accept the benefits, and watch their own kids. Look, I totally understand and appreciate that. I would watch my own kids as opposed to putting them off with somebody else. And then the third piece of this is also that a lot of people don't want to go back to the restaurant industry specifically, and that's what I'm commenting on here, because we've been vilified. People have been absolutely nutty. We had an employee who ended up leaving because some guy came in and started flipping chairs at two old women who weren't wearing masks while they were eating and started screaming in their faces. And this young girl said, I can't deal with this craziness. I've got to quit. I can't work in the restaurant industry anymore. These people are nuts. So there's real world experiences that prove why this stuff is happening.
Chef, but isn't the restaurant industry a one gigantic super spreader thing? I'm sure about everybody who's gotten COVID's gotten it at a restaurant, right?
Yeah, have you noticed how that data now, or the lack thereof, hasn't been talked about? How for months and months and months and months, we were the villains. We were the bad guys. Small businesses. But you know, what's really interesting, Jesse, is that now the debate has shifted, right? So it's no longer about, oh, restaurants are super spreaders. Small businesses are being targeted for some reason as these kind of like, you know, these villains who are just sitting on piles of cash. Now the reason people aren't going back to work, according to many, is because we're not being paid, or we're not paying a living wage. I got attacked big time on social for speaking out about this and them saying we're not paying a living wage. And for context, let me tell you, we're paying entry-level dishwashers right now $20 to $25 an hour. I looked up the MIT data for a living wage, which is very, very left-leaning, and a living wage in the area in which we're paying right now is $17.55 an hour. So we're actually paying way above a living wage.
I'm pretty sure my first job was a dishwasher, if you don't count all the illegal jobs I had before that. And I'm almost positive I made $4.75 an hour. But we don't have to go back to that, Chef. It's not like I'm jealous or anything. Anyway, look out for my application after the show. Be that as it may, I'm hearing things about a chicken shortage. Wall Street Journal, chicken shortage sends prices soaring and restaurants can't keep up. Now, you've forgotten more about food than I will never know. I always learn something from you. Why are we running out of chickens?
Well, interestingly, it actually goes back to the unemployment element, right? Because chicken is a massive commodity index, needs and requires a ton of processing. It's hard to hire people right now because a lot of the processing facilities don't have the bodies. You're seeing the exact same thing happen with lobster, but lobster is not as ubiquitous as chicken, so people aren't talking about it. The lobster shortage right now actually is crushing my business overall. Because I'm using most of it for Twitter. Not true. But back to the chicken piece, right? So look at the integration between this in the supply chain. So you start with the processing facilities to break the meat down. Then you've got to get it distributed to all of these, you know, wholesale distributors. Well, those distributors aren't able to hire drivers. They're not able to hire packers. They're not able to hire people for their warehouses. You're seeing massive food trucks right now, like Sysco's or the US Foods, driving around town. For everybody watching this, just watch a Sysco truck and see if there's a small minivan behind it, because what's happening now is Sysco can't load their trucks, so they're having their district managers actually go drive around after the trucks, dropping more of the product off. They're offering their drivers $20, $25, $30 an hour plus $2,000 signing bonuses, and they can't even get people to fill the routes. So the way it affects the entire supply chain goes back to the price of the good itself.
Good grief. All right, Chef. What are some other major shifts in the restaurant industry that have either already happened or you see coming? Are there any good ones? Are they all bad? Give me all of them.
No, there's good ones, right? So we've already seen a deregulation of the alcohol service element here in California and a lot of other strict regulated states. Now you're able to sell alcohol by virtue of these third-party delivery apps or take alcohol out, or you're able to drink outside in parking lots and patios where you otherwise wouldn't be able to. Now, a lot of people might say, oh, well, that's dangerous, isn't it? Not necessarily, because actually having alcohol delivered to your house is going to preclude somebody from driving after a couple drinks to go back to the liquor store to maybe re-up on their, you know, their Fireball or their fuzzy navels. So it's a good thing, I think, all around. We're also seeing now that people are able to construct these creative patios, which otherwise they wouldn't be able to do based on certain building codes, et cetera. So that's a good thing. And I'm already seeing in places like California where they're trying to figure out ways to either scale back on it because they don't want that to become permanent, or ways in which they can tax you on every single inch of one of those creative solutions.
What's a bad trend? I know that we have some.
Well, I think the bad trend in general right now is the ways in which restaurants, hotels are using COVID as an excuse to cut back on service, to cut back on products. I traveled all throughout, and you know, room service was never available in the hotels. They wouldn't, you know, provide the basic amenities under the guise of COVID. We've now learned that there's a lot of things that COVID doesn't happen with COVID, like, you know, surface to surface spread. But what the hotels are doing is they're still charging you a full rack rate for the room while cutting the amenities out 50%. So it's a way in which a lot of these businesses and corporations are trying to increase their margins at the expense of the consumer.
Okay, is this something like this food shortage stuff? Because, you know, you see all this fear-mongering stuff, and some of it's real, and some of it's just people spitting out words to see where they splatter. I'm seeing things all over today that says we're going to start seeing some empty sections in the grocery shelves soon. Do you see supply chain problems on that level, or is this one of those things that's going to work itself out?
Yeah, we're definitely going to see the supply chain hiccups across the board, the same way we saw them at the front side of COVID. But that doesn't necessarily imply that we don't have the supply. I think it's more of a matter of the avenues of distributions to get them on the shelves. And that goes back to the labor piece of this, right? And it kind of exhibits the integrated atmosphere, if you will, from processing to labor to supply on the shelves. But the things that we're going to see shortages on are going to be temporary. I think there's a massive shock to the system right now because we're reopening things at such a rapid rate. And a lot of people got very complacent in their position to not work or not be open. That's not laziness. I'm just talking in general about America, right? Like Netflix and chill is over. And people are now slow to wake up to the new reality that, oh, we got to get back to a norm. So I think we're going to eventually catch up to it. The bigger issue that I see here is the ways in which these inflation indicators that are being denied by the current administration. Inflation is real and it's happening right now. So what's next, right? Are they going to start to manipulate interest rates? And if that's the case, then obviously it's going to be a bit of a downward spiral.
Yeah, and look, we already had over 4% inflation in April. I don't see that number going down in May. I don't see it going down in June because we're not doing anything but printing trillions of more money. We're not backing. I see this inflation thing continuing. Do you?
I see it continuing, and it's interesting because look at the response from the current administration. When they talked about the labor shortage with the restaurant industry and not being able to get restaurant workers, what they said, the Biden administration's response to that was, well, then we'll give more money to the restaurants who are having trouble operating because they can't find labor. So instead of getting to the root of the problem, it's, well, let's just print more money and just keep giving people money. And that's a temporary solution. We're not asking for more money. We're asking for a deregulation. We're asking for a free market so that things can operate naturally and organically, to use their language, or in a plant-based manner, so that we can just, you know, run a business.
Speaking with Chef Gruel, by the way, he owns Slapfish. If you're ever in his area and don't go to Slapfish, you're crazy. You should see the pictures of the stuff he puts online. All right, I normally ask you about sandwiches and stuff like that. We're going to set all that aside for a minute, Chef. Pasta. Pasta can go either way. I've had so much pasta that was garbage, but a good pasta dish can change your life. Give me the Chef Gruel. I have to make the perfect pasta dish or I'll die or something scenario. What are you making?
People over-intellectualize pasta. So, you know, cook your pasta to a nice al dente. Make sure you're tasting it throughout the entire time, because once you start overcooking that pasta, then it's junk, right? But what I like to do is I like to cook my pasta, right? Cook it almost until it's done, and then I drain it and I save some of the cooking water, right? Then I put it back in the pot in which I cooked it with some of that cooking water because it's got the starch in there, and I throw in a handful of butter. So now I'm just coating that pasta and it's kind of cooking into its own natural creaminess. From there, you add anything. That's the base. So if you want a tomato-based pasta, add your tomato sauce. You need the viscosity of that and richness of that butter to coat those noodles. Look, we all know butter's good. It's not a bad thing. So you're a keto guy. You love butter. Use that butter to your advantage as the vehicle through which you can add more flavor to your pasta. If you don't want to add a sauce, just add a handful of bacon, maybe some fresh herbs, add a handful of caramelized garlic at that point, any of your ingredients. But once again, drain your pasta when it's almost done, add it back to the pot, reserve a little bit of that cooking water, nice dollop of butter, and then go from there.
Chef Gruel, everybody, always bringing it. Thank you, Chef. I appreciate you, brother.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I swear, I'm on TV. I almost had to clean myself up there real briefly.
Heck, on that sounds good. All right, we'll be back. Have you ever taken a cold shower? I'll be frank with you. I have been in some very, very, very cold water in my lifetime. One time when we were doing mountain warfare training in the Marine Corps, they found this creek, this extremely large creek, and they made us all lock arms because it was moving really fast. They didn't want anybody to wash away. And they made us walk out into this creek up to our necks. Only what they didn't tell us was it was all glacier water. It was at a temperature just above freezing. So very quickly, my entire body was numb from the neck down. And they thought it was funny. They were standing on the shore and they were laughing at us. And then they made us get out and your body stopped working. Either way, I don't want to get sidetracked on this. I will say, they say cold showers are supposed to be really good for you. Wake you up in the morning, get the muscles alive. Cold showers suck. This gorilla knows what I'm talking about. Whoa! That wasn't pleasant at all. All right. We have a great, great special for you tomorrow. We are going to be picking the worst governor in America. And we have guests coming on. They're going to come on and compete for this governor's worst. No, my governor's worst. It's going to be a fun show. Don't miss our special tomorrow on I'm Right. I'll see you then.